Hello, Cinnabar Moths, or any kind of moth you like to be. Welcome to the Writer's Triangle Cinema Moths podcast about all things publishing and books. Today we are here with Elizabeth Roderick, author of Gracie and Zeus, Live the Dream, winner of the 2022 Best Indie Book Award in the Mystery category. Elizabeth, how are you doing today?
All right, how are you?
I'm doing good, thanks for asking. Congratulations on the win.
Hey, thanks. It's pretty cool. I like it.
How does it feel to be an award-winning author?
You know, it's really weird. It is something that I've been so focused just on writing and publishing that it always seemed like something that might happen in the future when I got my stuff more together. And I'm really glad that Cinnabar Moth asked me if I wanted to be entered in awards, because it's something that it's hard for me to organize all of that stuff and like do it on my own. And so I hadn't really thought about it. And so it's almost like I achieved something that I didn't even dare to dream about in a way. So it's cool. I feel good about it.
I'm glad that's been a positive experience for you. I do think that the concept of an award is often something we think, oh, once I have this base of work or people get to know me better, maybe it's possible type of thing, right?
I mean, it's the whole process of writing and becoming an author. At every step of it, you think that if you just achieve X, then you'll feel like you've made it. And at this point, I'm pretty comfortable with the fact that no amount of achieving X or Y or Z is ever going to make me feel like I've finally, I'm finally like a real writer, that I'm not going to have this imposter syndrome anymore. So like it's so I'm allowing myself to just feel good about it instead of being like, well, but I haven't won a Nobel yet. Next time I got to win the Pulitzer or whatever. But like so yeah, I mean it. Yeah, it's something my family proud of me, and people say congratulations, and I feel, and it's just a really good feeling all around.
So you mentioned that this is helped you a bit come to grips a bit with being a writer and feeling like embracing the positivity of it. Has it changed how you view yourself as a writer? Do you feel like you're a proper quote unquote author now, or how does it change that feeling for you?
I think it's just increased my confidence, and my confidence waxes and wanes. And it's been at a low point, actually. It is weird. I wasn't working outside of the home for a few years before COVID, and right after COVID hit, I started working outside the home, and I'm not able to concentrate as much on writing. Even, I have time, but my brain won't focus on it as much as it did before I worked outside the home. So my confidence has been at a low point. I've written 18 full-length novels, and I still feel like if I don't write every day, that I'm not a real writer. I mean, it's a ridiculous thing my brain does, but it's a good reminder that, I'm still, this is still, it's not even just something I do, it's who I am. It's the only thing that I've ever done that feels like it's my thing, if that makes sense. Like if when I'm writing, I am at peace, and it's pretty much the only thing that makes me feel that deeply relaxed. I mean, I'm an anxious person. And so it's just this, it was just a really good confidence booster, and it makes me feel like writing again. So it's not like been a complete turnaround on how I see myself, but it has been a complete turnaround of my mood in the moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's been like a positive booster and sort of like a positive anchor where you can go, maybe feeling down, but I did this thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, it's a good boost of serotonin.
Is this your first time winning an award?
Yes, it is. I was actually, my book, The Other Place, was nominated for an award, but I didn't win it. It was like a Reader's Choice Award, and a reader nominated me for it. And I didn't even know until after I already hadn't won it because I didn't get the Facebook message. Like, I never checked my Facebook messages, and they sent me a Facebook message or something. But yeah, I didn't win that one. That's the only other one I know of that's been nominated for anything.
Okay, so you've had the experience of being nominated, but this was the first time you went in knowing from the beginning that your book was being submitted for an award, and then, hey, you won it.
Yeah, it was really interesting too, because I had sent you guys my stuff that I needed to enter, and then I completely blocked it out. Like, I mean, it was there somewhere in my mind, but I'm just like, yeah, nothing's gonna come of that. And and then it's like I get this email, and it took me a couple minutes to realize it wasn't a spam message. And it was pretty amazing.
So you got an email. Were you at home when you found out that you won the 2022 BIBA Award for Mystery?
No, I was at work. At my outside the house job doing supervised visitation, where parents who are court ordered to not be alone with their kids, I sit in on the visits. I started crying. It was really embarrassing, actually. And luckily, like, this client, like, he's been around for a while, and he's a good person, and he's like, are you okay? I trusted in him enough to tell him what was going on, so he didn't think I was just like someone had died or whatever. Like, I'm like, no, right, this right. Is so, but yeah, it was super embarrassing.
So it was an emotional moment for you, but it was also kind of awkward timing.
Yeah, but yeah, it was I never thought I'd cry when something like that happened, but now I know, now I do.
Yeah, I guess we like to imagine that we know how we'll react when something like this happens, but then it actually happens, and just it might hit you on a specific day when you're feeling some type of way, and it is a completely different reaction than what you imagine, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm barely in control of my emotions on a good day, so I guess I mean most of the time I feel like I'm wrestling my brain and my body to pay attention to me and do what I want to begin with. So yeah, it's weird how little we know ourselves sometimes, and how much it feels like I don't know, for me, it feels like my brain and body sometimes are like this toddler that I have to make behave. And that was one of those moments. Anyway.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. The kind of, we know ourselves, but we also don't know ourselves completely. There's always that room of being like, huh, so that's also me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, if we've never been in a situation, like you said, if you've never been in a situation, there's no way to know for sure how you're going to react, because, I mean, unless we've practiced, like, everything is practice. Like, if you're like a firefighter and you think you're going to walk into this dangerous situation and just be this life-saving hero, but then the first time you do it, you freeze up. You can practice and get better at it. Like, no matter what it is. But unless we've been in the situation, if it's the first time, there's no way to know.
Yeah. How,
I mean, this is a huge digression, but.
No, it's fine. With that, like, the experience of getting the reward and having that moment afterwards, have you shared the fact that you've gotten this award with other people in your life?
Yeah. Once, it's weird because my client was the first one to know, and then, but like it said, I wasn't supposed to make an announcement on social media or anything until the winners went up on the website. And so I had to, I told my daughter, but I had to hold off telling the world for a few more days. But yeah, I've told strangers, I think, in the supermarket at this point. maybe not quite that bad, but yeah, I told my book group, I told my writing group, I told my family, and my dad, I think, really has told strangers in the supermarket, because he's definitely that kind of dad. I'm pretty sure everyone knows at this point.
So do you think that having the Biba Award might change the way that others view your writing?
Yeah, I don't, I think it does. That sort of thing means a lot to people. The book market is so saturated. And even, I know a lot of people who have book deals with Simon and Schuster who don't sell any more books than I did on my very first one. It's just, there's so many books, and how people, like they say, word of mouth is the best way to get people to write your, or to read your book. It just has to be someone they know and trust telling them, oh yeah, this book was really good. And so it just, any sort of thing to catch someone's eye that makes them think that it's worth giving that book a chance, is, it always helps. And it ends a certain legitimacy to your writing, like whether that's fair or not. And there's a lot of schools of thought about whether it's fair. I mean, it's just true. So I think people do look at, like, when you're an award-winning author, I think they do look at you a little bit differently. But again, I still have to win that Pulitzer for them to really think I'm okay. So I'll just hold my breath on that one.
Yeah, well, you'll do that with the next book, right? You know, just a little bit further along.
my next little romancy, funny rock star book will definitely win a Pulitzer. You never know, right?
Yeah. Hey. It's a possibility. It's along the path of where your growth as a writer. It's the next step, so to speak.
It is. it's a big step, but I can get some mountaineering equipment and work my way up.
And so, with you getting the award, that was very exciting. It sounded like you felt pretty comfortable sharing that with the people in your groups.
Yeah. I mean, no, I mean, I felt also like I was a braggy little fraud as well, but I still, I mean, I know him well enough that and they share stuff like that about themselves. So I felt comfortable in those aspects. There's some, like, I try really hard not to work it into conversations that aren't about my books. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, hey, how's the weather? Oh, I won an award. But yeah, I in the right context, I feel comfortable.
Okay, yeah, I ask about that because some people don't necessarily feel comfortable, you know, opening up about the things that they've done, especially really soon after it's happened, because they're still getting comfortable with it themselves and connecting with that reality.
I mean, I totally get that. Like, even after I heard from you guys that the winners had gone up on the website and that I could announce to everybody, like, I went to the website and I, for some reason, I couldn't find my book. And my first thought was not that, oh, I must have missed it, or maybe there was a mistake. My first thought was that it let them sending me the email that I won was a mistake. And and there was definitely some of that. Like, I had to, there's always this fear in me, and I think a lot of people, that we're gonna tell people about something like this and it's gonna either end up not being true, or they are gonna mock us and tell us that we think we're too big for our pants, because, you know, some people are like that. And that's unfortunate. But no one that I allow in my daily life is like that. So I'm pretty lucky in that regard. It's all just a mental mental thing.
Yeah, I think it's good that you have these social circles that are comfortable and have, you know, positive people in them. Because I do think there are quite a lot of negative people who, even if they're not malicious with it, they still end up, like, dragging other people down into that kind of negative atmosphere and headspace. So,
yeah, I mean, especially with artistic stuff, like artistic, a lot of people, and especially, you know, in late stage capitalism, so to speak, where almost everybody seems to be working a job that they hate, that sucks the life out of them, and that gives them no energy, leaves them no energy to do anything creative or anything that they truly enjoy. And I've had a lot of people, when I talk about being a writer, who have tried to downplay. I mean, they're either like, well, if I had any time, I could be a writer too. Or, you know, like they act like it's some superficial thing, and then I'm either no good at it, or that they could do just as well if they weren't so busy with other stuff. And I've had, unfortunately, I broke up with a guy when I got a contract on the first series that I wrote, before I got the contract with you guys. And, you know, it's a 7-book series, and it took me, like, I wrote it in an entire year, but I wasn't doing anything else. So it was thousands of hours went into writing it and editing it and pitching it, and, you know, just all of the anguish and mental gymnastics that go along with that, just beyond the actual physical work. And he was just like, that's great. I wonder when it's going to be my turn to have something good happen to me. It's like, you know, like,
wow.
You know, I put a lot of work into it. It didn't just happen. Yeah. And then I ended up having to pull out of that contract anyway, but still, like, there a lot of people, they do it usually, even though it is an incredibly toxic and malicious thing to do, they do it just out of a deep self, I don't want to say loathing, that seems a hard word, harsh word, but kind of, like, they want so badly to have their own creative outlet that they, and they spend so much time telling themselves that they can't do it, that they see anyone who does do it as they just have to demean them in order to feel okay about themselves. And it's definitely, I think, something that a lot of us struggle with. Like, you know, when I have friends that get a big five publishing deal, like I legitimately am happy for them, but there's still like that feeling of, well, you don't have a big five publishing deal yet. You know, you didn't win a Nebula Award. Like, like you just, your brain is gonna sometimes try to use that, their happiness, as an excuse to beat up on yourself. And right. Just have to not express that at other people, because it's a really jerky thing to do.
Yeah, that type of projection, right?
Yeah.
But just following up on that, you talked about like feeling positively about your work and then struggling with with embracing feeling positively about your work and that imposter syndrome, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel deserving of the award, or are you struggling with that? I ask because a lot of authors, you know, struggle with owning how good their writing is and feeling positively about their writing. And I personally and the team at Cinema Moth believe that Gracie and Zeus Live the Dream is an amazing book. It's really wonderful, well written, enjoyable story. But do you connect with that? Do you own that, or is that something you struggle with?
I mean, I both own it and I struggle with it. One of my favorite writers who actually went to the same college I did, Linda Barry, she was a friend of Matt Groening, the creator of The Simpsons, and she does amazing comics, and she wrote one of my favorite books of all time called Cruddy. But she did this comic about I forget the exact wording, but it was like the two enemies of the artist, and she like paints them as these two like ghoulish creatures, and one of them is, this is great, and the other one is, this sucks. And like, you have to be constantly pushing both of those demons aside. Excuse me, sorry, my daughter just came home. So you have to be constantly pushing both of those demons aside in order to get any work done, or at least to get your best work done. And like, I allow myself to feel good. Like, you have to actually set aside space, or maybe some people don't, but I have to set aside space for me to be proud of myself and just not, for one, rely on other people to make me feel good, because that's a losing game, as a lot of us know. And also, I have to just concentrate mostly on how fun it is to write. Like, and that's why I do it. Like, people ask a lot, like, they ask the questions, like, if you knew no one would ever read your writing again, would you still do it? And I know without a doubt, in my case, it's yes, because it's almost like a form of meditation for me. And it's a way, like I call myself a method writer, because dissociation is kind of a pathologized word, but like when I'm writing, I dissociate and become my characters. And it allows me, it's like a meditation where when I'm in my characters, I don't have to deal with all of the crap that's bothering me personally. And it allows all of my negative emotions to dissipate. Just like, I mean, anybody who's familiar with meditation might have that, because I do that. I meditate too, because it is like a brain break, right? It's like sleeping or whatever, where you just allow your brain to rewire itself in a healthier way. I don't know if that's exactly what's happening, but that's kind of how it feels. So I really just have to allow myself time to be proud, feel good about what I've done, but then just concentrate on the actual writing and the fact, and so that it excites me. And like, I don't want the thing that if I'm concentrating on getting a deal or making money or winning an award, then I don't get that flow that is the reason I write, because I'm concentrating on the wrong thing. So anyway, that's a very long answer to a short question.
I think the what you talk about with kind of giving yourself headspace when you write and being able to kind of remove yourself from what's going on with you and just focus on the characters, their thoughts, and that world that you're building is an experience that I've also shared with when I was writing my book as well. It was very much kind of taking a step back from myself, and just all that mental energy being focused on something else means that there's not a lot of room for you necessarily in your stories, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think we do, like, sometimes even subconsciously work out stuff through our characters. And sometimes consciously, like, specifically in Gracie and Zeus, that I wrote that in a really weird period of my life. And Zeus, anybody who knows the person that that character is based on immediately knows who it's based on when they read it. Like, but Gracie isn't me in any way, shape, or form, really. I mean, I'm sure I put some myself into her, but like, it was a way for me to organize that relationship in a safe way. It was not going to make sense to anyone else, but yeah, I mean, we definitely put ourselves into it, but we also have to step outside ourselves in order for our characters to be themselves and to grow organically. Right. Otherwise, you know, I hate Hemingway specifically because it seems like every single one of his characters, every single one of his male characters is a projection of himself, and every single female character is his projection of how women are. And so, you know, although his use of language is great, I think a lot of authors do too much of that. And it isn't my cup of tea. Anyway, that I can say mean things about him because he's Hemingway and he's dead and he doesn't care. But
yeah, Hemingway's not gonna have any feelings about this.
Yeah, maybe he'll come slap me around in my dreams tonight. Never know.
And so with winning the reward, it's you've given yourself the space to enjoy it and feel good about it. Has it affected how you approach your writing at all, or are you still approaching it the same way?
I mean, it's affected my focus on writing again. It's renewed my focus on writing because I've been in a slump lately. And it's just, but I don't think it's had a direct effect on my actual writing. But I think at this point I am, like, it took me like 6 or 7 books to find my voice and my style, which seems like a lot, but I was finishing a full length novel like every 6 weeks at that point. So it took me like a year of writing to really, where I didn't have to struggle with just the words I was putting on the page. I could just picture what I wanted to have happen, and I could get it on the page in my style and my voice in a way that I felt comfortable, you know, that I was getting close to portraying what I wanted to portray, if that makes sense. Because with any art, like, you have to hone your skill enough to be able to create the thing that you had in your mind. Right. But at this point, I'm like at a, like, my style is changing. Like, I feel it feel like I need to do something a little bit different. And I haven't found my new footing yet. And so I think it's helping me do that just because it's renewed my drive a little bit.
Okay. So it's not directly changing your style, but rather you're currently going through a metamorphosis and it's kind of giving you that booster of motivation to keep moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense to me. And I think that it's wonderful that you're able to kind of re-grasp that positive feeling with the writing experience again and change that, get that shift away from the negative and feel more positively going into it.
Yeah, I like it too.
And so has getting the award opened any doors for you when it comes to writing?
Not yet. Like, well, I mean, you're interviewing me, which I guess you wouldn't probably be doing otherwise. But other than that, not yet that I know of. Like professional doors. But a lot of the time, like it gave me a sales boost, which was cool. I don't usually check my sales anymore, but I'm like, I wanted to see if it did affect my rankings on Amazon or whatever, and it did. So I'm hopeful that, you know, that one really famous person will end up reading the book for what, just stumbling on it and like tweeting about it, and right, suddenly the New York Times or whoever is
calling, gets picked up for a movie, you know.
Yeah, that'd be awesome actually. I could see it as a movie.
And so with the experience with having written Gracie and Zeus and then getting the award, would you say that there's been anything surprising about the experience of winning an award?
Just the fact that it happened, I think. But yeah, not otherwise yet. No, just that it happened. Like I said, it wasn't something that I had ever felt was inevitable or close at hand. And so it kind of blindsided me.
Okay, so the surprise was it's the experience itself is a surprise more than anything.
Yeah.
And you mentioned before that you've kind of shared with your family and with some friends and acquaintances and such that you won. Of those people, who would you say had like the best or the most surprising reaction to the win?
Oh, I mean, I don't think anyone, I mean, especially since COVID, my in-person circle is kind of small. So, but my daughter, I live just with my daughter. It's just the two of us. And she's 18. She's almost 19. And she's always, even when she was little, she was always my best support as a writer. Like my very first book, I gave it to her to read because it's a YA, and she only made it through 2-3 pages. But by the time I got done with that 7-book series and like started on my 8th book, when I gave her, it was actually the other place, I gave her that book and she read it all the way through and drew like fan art of my characters.
Wow.
And like asked when the sequel was going to be ready. And like, so like she was the first person who gave me that feeling of like, wow, like maybe I don't suck. Like maybe people would like this. And so she's just, I think, the happiest for me and like the most supportive. It wasn't a surprise, but it's just definitely the best reaction.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful having your daughter be so supportive and so enthusiastic about your writing.
Yeah. And since she wasn't into my first book, like I could trust, like, and she was like 11, 12 at right. that point. So like not a lot of subterfuge in that age group. I mean, I guess in some kids, but like she's always known how to speak her mind to me, which is good. Like, because it shows me that I'm not too hard on her or whatever. Like she can speak her mind. So yeah, it was the first time I could trust that the reaction was genuine, and I still feel like her reaction is genuine. Like she'll tell me, she'll keep my head on straight about this stuff, you know.
Yeah, totally. I mean, kids are pretty straightforward, especially the younger they are, right? They just tell you, hey, this is how I think.
Yeah. Why is your hair gray? Like, why? Yeah. I work around kids and they'll definitely tell you about yourself.
Mm-hmm. And so you've won the award. Has the award trophy arrived yet, or?
Yeah, it did. I sent you guys a picture of me with it yesterday, and it's sitting on my shelf right in front of me. I tried it around the house in a few different places and then put it on my little trinket shelf in my room where it will sit next to my Pulitzer when I win that too.
Is that in view of your writing space? Is your writing space in your room, or do you have a separate writing space?
In this house, it's in view of my writing space. I'm mostly here in my room, even though like sitting on my bed, which is probably horrible for my back, but we just have a little 2-bedroom house, so it's the only place that I can lock the 7 million animals out of if I need to and get some quiet time.
Right. That's nice. You have that reminder there. You can just look over and be like, hey, I got that with my writing.
Yep. I did that.
Yeah. It's all you.
Yep. Well, and you know, the editing and publication. So it's not all me, but it's
mostly you. It's your writing, right? It's your story. It's your ideas.
I set it in motion for sure.
Yeah. So with the experience and of writing the book and getting the award and everything, what's next for you? What do you have that you're thinking of going to next with now that you're an award-winning author?
I am really trying to get a daily writing practice. I actually would like the obsessive writing practice that I had before, even though it would be hard to do that and have, I wasn't having to work for money at that point. So, but I don't have anyone supporting me now. So it'd be hard. Like when I get focused on something, I get really focused and it's hard for me to do other things. But anyway, I'm trying to get back into the daily writing practice, but I also really want to get my head together with regard to marketing and stuff like all the, and pitching. I have 11 completed novels sitting on my laptop right now that aren't published, and I haven't been pitching them to anybody. So I really want to do that again. Those are the next steps that I'm setting for myself. Like it's a long game in this stuff. Like it never, like I said, there's never a point where you feel like you've made it. And people who have accomplished a lot more than I have still say that thing. So it's not that, I tell myself that every day. Like I look at people who make millions in sales still saying the same things that I do. And it helps me to know that there's no end game. There's no goal. There's just the next step. And so, yeah, just keep writing and keep trying to get it out there so that I can keep writing.
I think that's a positive way to view it, is that, you know, you can keep moving forward. You can keep growing, yeah. You can keep progressing, right?
Yeah. Otherwise, if I think of it otherwise, it gets so overwhelming that I don't get much done.
Makes sense. I think having it framed in a way that you can manage and work through is really, really important, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I guess it'll be different for everybody, but I think with accomplishing anything, you got to find a system. I mean, I'm ADHD too, so my systems for getting things done are elaborate and numerous, and that's the one that works for me with writing. Concentrate on the fact that you like it and concentrate on the next step and get her done.
Yeah. And so following up on that, the idea of getting it done, you've mentioned that you've gotten quite a few books written, actually, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about some of the other works that you have out there?
Yeah, the ones that I have out there, the first one that I got published is called Love or Money, and that was the 11th book I wrote, actually, and like, I had been pitching one of my other books that has a schizophrenic main character, and I'd been getting really good feedback from agents and editors, but they were like, I don't know where I'd put this on the shelf. Like, it's definitely a genre mashup. And so I was just like, I just got to get my foot in the door somehow. So I tried to write just a run-of-the-mill romance novel. And I'm not one of those people that had never read a romance novel and was trying to write, like, I had read them, but like, I don't like the ones that are just about the relationship. And so I wrote a romantic suspense. So it was the romance was a big part of it. And there was like graphic sex in it. And like, it starts with a scene in a women's prison in the bathroom, and like, total sexy times, like right off the bat. And it was like this inside joke. I'm like, well, that'll sell a damn thing. And so I wrote that and I sent it off and got two offers for my first batch of queries from small publishers, so I guess like my weird plan worked. Like, and that was with Limitless Publishing out of Hawaii. And after I got that one published, they published my one with the schizophrenic main character, the Other Place series, which is it's three full length novels and a novella. It's about a guy with schizophrenia and a woman dealing with addiction. And it's, I guess like some people especially think the first one, The Hustle, is dark, but it, like, to me, it's not dark. Like no spoilers or anything, but I will never, I don't think, have a book with an unhappy ending. Like, more power to people who write like that, but life can be like that enough. Like, that's why I like romance novels, is you know it's going to turn out okay in the end, and it's the one thing that I can control. Like, these are worlds that I have some semblance of control over, and so it may not be the ending you expect, but it's going to be a happy ending, so it's not dark in that respect. And so, but yeah, they're surreal. And and then after those, I self-published The Hoodlum Army, which is a like a lesbian modern day Robin Hood retelling. And I think that one is the most like Gracie and Zeus. It's the same like funny sort of Carl Hyacinth style. Okay. Or some people say Terry Pratchett, which I will never think I'm good enough to be put in a category with him. but like the same humorous sort of narrative. Self-publishing was fun, but I don't think I'll ever do it again because I'm just no good at organization and marketing. And then I have, and then all of my, the 11 books that I haven't got published yet are all YA and all fantasy. Although there's a lot of different, like one of them is high fantasy and like, although it's like a, I guess it's like high fantasy with the touch of sci-fi, like kind of alternate Earth or alien planet high fantasy. And one is the, my first series is like urban fantasy with like people controlling the dream world and like writing computer code to sell condos in the afterlife and stuff like that. And yeah, like another, my most recent one I finished is a YA, like sci-fi fantasy. And the one I'm working on now is a YA alternate Earth fantasy. So I need to find a way to make the jump from being a, primarily an adult. I think I'm primarily a YA, like YA is my first love. And a lot of people tell me that's because I'm immature or I wish I was still 16 or whatever. But like, I like the vibe of YA. Like it's not as jaded generally as adult, even right. if like a fantasy, like, and it's more like, it allows me to have a more innovative voice with when dealing with problems and also like not, like you could, if, I don't know how to explain it, but like the characters, their baggage is more or less newer than if you're writing with adult characters. It just, yeah, it's a better vibe for me. But yeah, that's what all of my unpublished stuff is. So I need to. Go ahead.
It sounds like quite a variety of different genres and different tales. And
that's part of my problem with marketing is I have to reinvent the wheel with every book. Like I can't be like, if you like my last one, you'll like this one. It's like, there's something for everybody. Like just it's like a smorgasbord instead of like. I mean, and it's not that people want to read the same thing over and over, but it's like when I find an author I like, I'll read everything by them. And there's some other authors that are like me, and it can be frustrating because it's like, I didn't sign up for this. Like, I thought it was going to be like your last thing. And like, so I get it. I have to deal with that reaction from people and learn how, like, maybe I'll have to publish under 12 pseudonyms for each genre. <Or whatever.
laughs> Yeah, I mean, I think that people do enjoy styles of writing, right? So even across different genres, I think some readers enjoy a variety of genres and will be like, hey, I enjoyed their YA stuff, let's try their adult stuff, or the other way around and still enjoy it. And some people might go, eh, I'm not really into YA, so maybe I won't read that stuff, even though this was nice. But, you know, different people, different reactions. Some people might be more excited for the YA stuff because that's what they usually read, and they just were exploring the adult stuff. And
yeah, and I mean, it's just a way of finding a way to speak to their expectations so that they know,
right?
So they're not disappointed, you know what I'm saying? Like thinking they're going to get something and getting another.
Yeah, it definitely makes a lot of sense. And I totally get it with the, you set an audience and you attract an audience and then not wanting to surprise them necessarily with what they're reading in
Yeah.
that way. Like they might be surprised by the story, and that's a good thing, but they shouldn't be surprised by the type of writing.
Yeah. Because even if they like, sometimes even if people would like the book otherwise, sometimes they'll put it down just because it wasn't what they wanted to read right then. And you know, it's hard to build a fan base, like especially with Indie Pub, the one the well with I mean across the board with all types of publishing, romance is the most popular, and the way you build your fan base as a romance author is publish series of the same type, or at least the same type of book. Like Tessa Dare writes Regency romance, and she publishes like three or four of them a year, and they want you to publish one a month or something. Like it's incredibly competitive, but that's one of the reasons why it sells so well, is because people write, they want a certain kind of book, and they want it to end a certain way and have the same tropes. And some people say that makes things repetitive, and I don't think it does for reading, but I do for writing. Like I like long series. Like I like to stay with my characters for a long time, but when I start a new series, I want to be somewhere completely different. Like I'm done with whatever happened before. I'm a cosmonaut
I
to explore.
think that's one of the wonderful things about writing is you have that ability to continue exploring all these different genres and different ways of telling stories, and it's open, you know?
Yeah.
And I think
It's
it's wonderful that you're exploring it.
fun. I like it.
So I think that's wonderful that you've got the quite a few books out there, quite a few different genres, different ways of telling these stories, and you're continuing to explore with the ones that you've already written and the ones you plan on writing in the future. And everyone who's listening, be sure to check out all these books. Check out Elizabeth's books. Check out
Yeah.
Gracie and Zeus Live the Dream if you haven't already. And congratulations again, Elizabeth, for winning the Best Indie Book Award in the mystery category for Gracie and Zeus Live the Dream.
Oh, thank you very much.
We're excited about it. We know your fans are excited too. And thank you for taking the time to talk with me today and be on the Writer's Triangle.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you to all of our beautiful moths for listening. Be sure to buy Gracie and Zeus Live the Dream and check it out. Elizabeth, can you tell us where we can find you for social media?
I am Lids, LIDS, Rodney, RODNEY on Twitter, all one word. And I am Tales from Purgatory on my website is Tales from Purgatory, all one word, .com. And I'm Tales from Purgatory on TikTok and Instagram.
Wonderful. And once again, thank you for talking with me today. It's been a pleasure.
For me as well.
And bye-bye.
Bye.